For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. June 25th, we are in Derech Hashem. We are up to Chelek Dalad, Perk Shvi. Havod Hazmanis. So this is going to be things that come from time to time. And when you talk about mitzvahs that come from time to time, you're obviously talking about Shabbos and Yontif and the mitzvahs that are attached to Shabbos and Yontif. So that's our main Zman type mitzvahs. So the Ramchal, this is going to take two parts. He's going to give an introduction and discuss mostly Shabbos tonight with a little bit about Yontif, and then next week will be about Yontif. So the Ramchal writes that the Avodah Zmanis is, he lists it. You have Shabbos, Yom Kippur, Yontif, Chol HaMoed, and then you have specific things that take place on those Yom Tovim: Chametz, Matzah, Shofar, Sukkah, Lulav, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, etc. These are the various things. Okay, so now I'm going to go through what he says, and then I'm going to share with you something which actually I came across today, not in Derech Hashem, but a brand new thought about a certain Indian, which I think you'll find very relevant to what he's going to talk about. Now, Shabbos, as the Ramchal already explained, that the world that we're in is a primarily physical world, and the struggle we find ourselves in as human beings is that we are struggling between the draw of physicality and the draw of spirituality. And we know that since the Chet of Adam HaRishon, we've said this many times, the draw of physicality is much stronger. Gashmius is much stronger than Ruchnius. And what offsets that, or what gives us the Kayach to be able to fight our Gashmi, is the Kayach of Torah itself. The Kabbalah Satorah that we have, that is what gives us that Kayach. Now, as Ramchal has written before, the fact that we are in a primarily Gashmi world means that we're in a sakana of being drawn completely after Gashmius. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to embed within this primarily Gashmi world, you can look at them as islands, you can look at them as beacons, or whatever it is, of Ruchni, so that we don't get completely subsumed by the Gashmi. So, how he calibrated the amount of Gashmi and the amount of Ruchni and the influences of Gashmi and the influences of Ruchni, that is obviously his cheshbon, and that's going to be an extremely complex set of interactions and things like that, which is beyond the human being's comprehension. One of the things that he did is that he embedded Shabbos in our days as a Ruchni day, so that it will be something that we're not just going through every day as being Gashmi, 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 in which case we would eventually just become completely entrenched in Gashmi and be unable to pull ourselves out of it, to extricate ourselves. So he implanted Shabbos in the days of the week. He decided it would be 7 days, which reflects Sheshes Mebrachos and Shabbos, but that's not a teretz. Now, that doesn't answer why it's 7 days, because creation could have been any amount of days Hashem wanted it to be. Could have been 3 days, could have been 20 days. I mean, he could have made it whatever he wanted. So it's true our week reflects Sheshes Mebrachos, but why was it 6 days of Bria Sa'olam and then Shabbos? For whatever reason. He saw that was the perfect way to calibrate the days of Chol and the days of Shabbos. This is a matana he gave only to us. that we recognize the day of Shabbos. Not only do we recognize it, but we're the only ones who are allowed to keep it. You understand that when the Gemara says, Akum Sheshabbos Chayev Misa, the guy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. We say it in the davening on Shabbos itself. V'gam b'minuchaso lo yishkinu arelim. Arelim, meaning non-Jews, are not allowed to keep Shabbos. It's an Isser. You're probably familiar with the concept that even someone who's studying for Gerus is not allowed to keep Shabbos. They have to be Mechal Shabbos until they actually become Gerim. As a guy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. It's a Matana Toiva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us and no one else. But this is a special Matana, which is this special Kedusha that, again, that is meant to be an island or a beacon which prevents us from becoming completely entrenched in the Gashmi. Then we'd be lost. This concept of a week of 6 days of Chol and a seventh day of Shabbos is reflected really in all of Bri'as HaOlam, because as you know, the world is Sheshas Halafim Shana, 6,000 years, and then the 7,000 is Shabbos, whatever that means, whatever it's supposed to be. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu also set it up that there was going to be 6,000 years of the regular world. The regular world includes Yemos HaMashiach. That's the way the world was supposed to be, was Alpayim Toihu, 2,000 years of pre-Torah, Toihu, nothingness, Alpayim Torah, and then Alpayim Yemos HaMashiach. Ubavanosenu HaRabim, we haven't gotten to Yemos HaMashiach yet. But that's the way it's meant to be. And then at the end of 6,000 years, it's supposed to be Charev. The world is supposed to be destroyed and reconstituted for whatever comes next, Tchias HaMesim, or whatever the next Olam Haba, whatever that next step is. So that concept of six Chol followed by a seventh, which is Kadosh, is reflected in Bria Solom in general, in the whole system of Bria, not just in our weeks. Ramchal writes that the fact that Shabbos is the last of the 6 days, and you see from Bria Solom, you start without Shabbos and you get to Shabbos, that infuses the 6 days of Chol with a Kedusha also. Meaning that it's not just that, okay, you're traveling along this turbulent sea of Gashmias, and now here's an island of Ruchnias, once every 7 miles, once every 7 days, here we go, here's a Kedusha of Shabbos. It's more than that, because it is the end and the summation of a unit called a week. Therefore, it informs the rest of the week. And as a result, the Chol days that come prior to Shabbos are actually themselves elevated by the Kedusha of Shabbos. So it's not just that on the seventh day we have Kedusha and then we're thrown back into Gashmis, which is true. That's why we have Besamim at the end of Shabbos, because we lose the Neshama Yisera, where it's Vayavda Nefesh. We lose, it's a chesaron that we're going back to Chol, which is true. But we're not, the Chol days are all days that are leading up to Shabbos. That's not just the way we think of it. That's actually true. It's a metzius. It's not something that we invented. We invented it because since we look forward to Shabbos, we have to prepare for Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Misha tarach be'erev Shabbos yoichal b'Shabbos." You gotta cook. You gotta shop in order to cook. You gotta clean. You got whatever it is. So our weeks are naturally arranged and scheduled around Shabbos. That's true, and it has to be that way. But it's really not just a human pragmatic way of dealing with it, of just how to set up our weeks. It really is be'etzem true that all the days of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, are themselves meant to lead up to Shabbos, because the unit is a week, starting with the first day of the week and ending with Shabbos, and so we're constantly building up to Shabbos. So even when we're thrown back into a Matzi Shabbos, into a Sunday, we're in Chol, we're literally entrenched in Chol, but we're on a trajectory for Shabbos. And that's the entire Bria is like that. We're in the year 5775, and we're building up to Shabbos, to that seventh year. Just as the Shemitah cycle, he doesn't mention the Shemitah cycle, but it's the same thing. That the 6 years are building up to that Shemitah year. And that's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world, so that the Kedusha is actually informing and affecting the rest of the week. So when you prepare for Shabbos during the week, is you cook something on a Wednesday for Shabbos, or you purchase something on a Monday and you're making your shopping list and you're including what you're buying for Shabbos, it's true we have to do that, otherwise we wouldn't be able to function, but we should bear in mind that that's actually the function of Monday. The function of Monday is to prepare for Shabbos. It's appropriate on Monday to be buying food for Shabbos because Monday is meant to be a hechatimtza to get to Shabbos. It's appropriate to cook on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday because you are. It's not just, obviously I have to cook, I can't cook on Shabbos, but it's more than that. The purpose of Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is to build to Shabbos. If you're laundering Shabbos clothing during the week, because I can't launder it on Shabbos, but that's the purpose of the week, is to get to Shabbos. So it's a very powerful thought to have when you're involved during the week in Shabbos activities or preparation for Shabbos. It is a powerful thought that you're actually using the Yom HaChol the way it was meant to be used, which is to get to Shabbos. This the Ramchal writes about Shabbos itself. Now, because we achieve great Kedusha on Shabbos, therefore one's behavior on Shabbos should reflect the Kedusha that Shabbos is. So that's a nice Musar Shmuz. You should have, be it properly on Shabbos, what's past and what's past nisht for Shabbos, when it was appropriate, what's inappropriate for Shabbos, with boys, it's always a discussion, should a person play ball on Shabbos? In an Erev, it's technically mutter, but is playing ball a Shabbos activity? There are Shabbos activities and there's non-Shabbistic activities. Right? So of course we understand that there's such a thing. But more than that, the way the Kadosh Baruch Hu set up Shabbos is that since Shabbos is Kedusha, therefore, it's appropriate for the level of Kedusha that Shabbos is, that we are therefore, according to that level, commensurate to that level, we are pulled away from the Gashmias. Now, there's an inyan of Einik Shabbos. So Shabbos is not like Yom Kippur, in which we don't indulge. We do indulge on Shabbos Fakert. We're supposed to indulge more on Shabbos than during the week. So we don't mean here being pulled away from the indulgences of Chol, of Olam Hazeh. That's not what we mean. What we mean is the involvement, the sense of being controlled by and driven by the physical sense of this world, the gashmius of this world. Shabbos, because of its kedusha, should pull us out of that. And that's why you have lamentes malachas on Shabbos. That's why you have Isurei Malacha. The Isurei Malacha, which is the Loisa says, that's the Shamar, and then also the Oinig Shabbos, the Kavod Shabbos, which is the Shamar, which is the Aseis, the Kid and Kiddush, Havdalah. Those things are there because Shabbos has to be something which is reflected in how we behave, in that we are minutuk, we are somehow detached from this world. Now Yom Kippur, the detachment is much more palpable because we're not eating, and we're trying to daven all day. We're trying to be completely separated from things that are gashmi. But Shabbos, the way it's reflected, is in having to be detached from the world around us and having to do a lot of preparation before Shabbos because we can't do these things on Shabbos. The lamentes malachas force a person to be tarach be'erev Shabbos. Misha tarach be'erev Shabbos yoichal b'Shabbos. Why is that? Because you can't do lamentes malachas. That's what forces Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to prepare for Shabbos. And that's what defines Shabbos as being different. As the Gemara says, Berachoy b'mon v'kitshoy b'mon, that there's a double portion of mon on Friday and no mon on Shabbos. So you're forced to prepare for Shabbos on Friday by collecting a double portion. And then Shabbos, you eat the mon, so you're indulging. It's not Yom Kippur, you're eating, but you're not collecting it. You're not able to collect it. It doesn't fall. It's not available. the store is closed. So it's a whole, it's not just that we have to do things differently. We're literally pulled away from being physically involved in the world in a very, very significant manner. That's how the malachos work on Shabbos. And the Rachal is saying that the malachos and Isurim of Shabbos are commensurate with the Kedusha of Shabbos. So Yontif, where the Kedusha is less, you have a heter of Eichel Nefesh. Because since the Kedusha is lower, therefore the amount that we're being pulled away from Olam Hazeh is commensurately less. There are Lamatas Malachos on Yontif also, but there are more exceptions on Yontif than on Shabbos. Chol HaMoed, which is even less Kedusha than Yontif itself, therefore the Isurim Malacha are even less. There are Isurim Malacha on Chol HaMoed. You need an excuse to do Malacha. But almost all Malachas are Mutter, provided you have an excuse. So Chol HaMoed is, because it's a lower Kedusha, therefore the Isurim are lower. And he goes through a list over here. I'll give you the, let's see. Yom Kippur is the greatest Kedusha of all of the Yom Tovim other than Shabbos. He ranks Yom Kippur as lower than Shabbos. Shabbos being the highest, then Yom Kippur. There's two ways of looking at Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is called Shabbos, Shabboson. So it sounds like it's a higher Kedusha than Shabbos. Plus, on Yom Kippur, we really are Menutuk from Olam Hazeh. We don't even eat. We're really trying to act like Malachim. So one could look at it that way, but he puts Yom Kippur as a lower level than Shabbos. You could look at Shabbos as being a greater level because ultimately we're not Malachim and you have to be physical. So Shabbos is where we're actually acting in the greatest kedusha possible with our physical bodies. So you can look at it two ways. But he puts Shabbos higher than Yom Kippur, but Yom Kippur being the highest of all the other days, there's no heter of Eichel Nefesh on Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to cook on Yom Kippur. Then comes the Yomim Tovim, which have a heter of Eichel Nefesh. Then Chol HaMoed, as we mentioned, has a heter of more malachos. Then comes Rosh Chodesh, where, as he writes, everybody's allowed to do malach on Rosh Chodesh except for women. So there is a general, we're not pulled away from malachos on Rosh Chodesh. Other than women. Women are pulled away from Malachas on Rosh Chodesh. Women should be careful on Rosh Chodesh not to do certain things. It's not so clear exactly what women should not do on Rosh Chodesh, but laundry definitely should not be done on Rosh Chodesh, and neither should real mending of clothing, like, you know, real sewing and things like that, should not be done on Rosh Chodesh for women. It's a little bit hard to... In our modern conveniences of washing machines and dryers and all that, it's not the same kind of thing. So, you know, it may be my wife's excuse to tell me to throw the load of laundry into the washing machine, and then when it's finished to put it in the dryer. But at the end of the day, she's still folding the laundry. Like, you know, there's no halacha in folding the laundry. So it's very hard to really feel that difference today. But Lamaisa, it is appropriate that a woman not do laundry and not mend clothing on Rosh Chodesh. And then you have Chanukah and Purim, where there's no Isur Malacha whatsoever. Everybody can do everything. There's no Isur Malacha Bechlal on Chanukah and Purim. So that all this is reflecting the level of the Kedusha. Shabbos being the highest, then Yom Kippur, then Yontif, then Chol HaMoed, then Rosh Chodesh, and then Chanukah and Purim, being lower than Rosh Chodesh. That's what he puts it. Very interesting that he puts it lower than Rosh Chodesh. Now, these Kedushos that appear from time to time, as we mentioned, their purpose is to keep us from becoming entrenched in Olam Hazeh. And we need a Shabbos once a week. We need these other Yomim Tovim less often. So we need a Rosh Chodesh once a month. We need a Pesach once a year, etc. Now, the Ramchal writes, and this is a prelude to next week's Perek, the Ramchal writes that the the Kedusha that is embedded in these days that come from time to time, these Kedushas came from something. As they originated with something. So Pesach, we know, originated with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shavuos originated with Matan Torah. Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Adin, Sukkot with the Anani Kavod, Chanukah, Purim, they all come from somewhere. So he writes that the Kedusha that is present on those days, because it emanated from certain events, that's the Kedusha that is found on those days. Whatever that means, that the Kedusha of Pesach is a Kedusha of Cherus, and Kedusha of Shavuos is a Kedusha of Matan Torah, and Kedusha of Sukkot is a Kedusha of Simcha, or Anani Kavod, or whatever you're going to put it. Whatever that means, but there's a different flavor to the Kedusha that you find on those days, and the mitzvahs hayayim that you have on those days, chametz and matzah on Pesach, and sukkah and lulav on Sukkot, and shofar on Rosh Hashanah, etc., those are going to be mitzvahs that are going to not only reflect what the day is about, but actually help us be able to take hold of that particular Kedusha. And that's going to be what he's going to discuss next time. It is important for us to call attention to the fact that those particular mitzvahs are, not all of them, women are chayavos in. So next week when we get to those mitzvahs, we're going to have to make mention of that point and discuss how that affects women in particular. For this week, it's not necessary because women are chayav in all the mitzvahs of Shabbos, just like men. There's no difference between a man and a woman with Shabbos. There's a shaila about Havdalah. But other than that, the mitzvahs of Shabbos are the same for men and for women, both in the lois ases and the ases. Everything is exactly the same. That's true for much of the dinim of yontif. For example, all the dinim of the yisurei malacha and the dinim of eichel nefesh are the same for men and women on yontif. Chametz and matz are the same for men and women. But we will have to discuss what about sukkah and lulav, which women are not chayavos in, shofar, which women are also not chayavos in, even though women have accepted upon themselves as being chayav, but they're not really chayav in it. On the other hand, Purim and Chanukah, women are just as chayav as men, because afhin hayu ba'sanes. So when we get to next week's discussion, we'll have to call attention to that and explain how that fits into the broader picture. Okay. So this is his presentation for this week with the explanation of Shabbos, its Isurim, its Asays, and what the whole purpose is of timely mitzvahs, kedushas that come from time to time. Let me pause here for questions, and then I want to introduce to you a really novel idea that dovetails with what he's talking about and will give us a broader approach to what's happening. Let's start this way. Chazal tell us that we're going to start with something which won't appear to be exactly what we're talking about here, but you'll see, it'll come right back to it. Chazal tell us, kol mi sheyesh lo pas besaloi, anybody who has bread in his basket, and he's worried about where will food come from tomorrow, he's worried about tomorrow's meal, harei ze miktanei amana. That's a person who has little emuna. Meaning, if you have today's food in your basket, meaning you've got food in your kitchen for today's meals, it's done, it's taken care of, and you're starting to think about what's going to be with tomorrow's meal because there's nothing left in the house other than what I'm eating now, harei ze miktanei amana. That's a person with low emuna. Now, that's a very lofty madriga, not to worry about tomorrow's meal. But that's what the Dor HaMidbar was. Those the Oichle Haman, Lanina Torah El Oichle Haman. Those who ate the man, that's what they were every day. They ate the man. The man was gone, and there was no more food. They went to sleep at night with full stomachs, but empty pantries. Nothing. Not a morsel of food in the house. Garnished. If you woke up in the middle of the night, you want the midnight snack, There's nothing there, right? You woke up in the morning, and your kids were waking up, and they're going to cry for breakfast. You had nothing to feed them, absolutely nothing. And they had a muna that the mun was going to fall again, and it did, and they went and brought the mun back. But again, only just enough for that day. And in fact, if you brought more, it spoiled. So throughout the centuries, our emunah, just like everything else with us, has diminished. That's not, it's nothing, it's unfortunate, but no one should feel personally ashamed about that. It's the Yiridas HaDaros. The Daros, Dar Achar Dar, our emunah has diminished and diminished and diminished and diminished. We today are at the lowest level that anybody's ever been when it comes to this concept, because not only do we make sure we have food for tomorrow, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us appliances that preserve food for days and weeks and months. We have refrigeration, we have freezers. There never was such a thing. Refrigerators and freezers, there's no such thing as refrigerators and freezers. So there was no such thing as them. Why do we have them today? We have them today because we need them. Because we are of Ketanei Amana. Not just we. The whole world doesn't have the Amuna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings modern help and appliances and things like that when there's a door that gets to a point that needs it. It's a convenience, but it also reflects our very low emuna. I'll tell you a personal maisa. When I was first a bachur in yeshiva, and in those days the yeshiva Rav Ruderman Zichrono Livracha was still alive, and we were brought up in Torah with the notion, with the sheifa, with the goal, with the ambition that you learn Kol HaTorah Kula, and you know it by heart. And you know it inside and outside and backwards and forwards, and you know it completely. Every single part of Torah. Because the Shiva Rav Ruderman knew every single thing of Torah, backwards, forwards, for there was nothing he didn't know, and he knew everything by heart. So that was our goal. Our goal was to be like the Shiva Rav Ruderman. Now, as an adult looking back, we were foolish teenagers. How could we possibly even? Rav Ruderman was, I mean, he was a huge gadol. He was also a genius. He was an unparalleled genius. So was Rav Aaron Cutler. I mean, these were giants of in Torah, but they weren't built on average minds. These were mamish giants. But as idealistic teenagers, that's what we were fed. That's what we were our shifa was for. And when you have shifas like that, you really grow. And people grow beyond what they're normally able to do. And there were people who really were kind of huge, huge amounts of Torah. Perhaps not like Rav Ruderman Zichrono Livracha, but gigantic amounts of Torah. In my Bachur years is when computers really started to pick up, and the notion of a CD-ROM, which today, I mean, that's already outdated, but in my day, the notion of a CD-ROM that can hold a huge amount of information, you can carry it around and just put it into your PC, that was a brand new concept. But as a Bachur Yeshiva, that was like, you know, it was going on, but it didn't matter to me. Who cared about that? Until Bar Ilan University put out the first Bar Ilan CD of Torah. And on that CD was all of Tanakh and all of Shas. And I don't remember what else was on it. I think those were probably the main things that were on it. Maybe there was more, but those were the main things that were on it. And everybody was going around like, it's unbelievable. All you have to do is search, and you could find anything in Shas, anything in Tanakh. All you have to do is put in the keywords, hit enter, and it'll pop up. Where it is in Shas? And everybody was so excited. What an unbelievable tool. What an unbelievable, they didn't have that before. Before that time, you had to remember, where was it in Shas? Where was it? Where was that Gemara? Where was that Rashi? Where was that Tisus? It's hard to remember everything. And if you didn't learn all of Shas yet, or if you did and you didn't chazer enough times, it's going to be very difficult. There were some people who, like Rav Runim and Zechariah Racha, who could just rattle off, you know, faster than you could type it in, but they were few and far between. Now, we have it. And as an idealistic bacher, that when that thing came out, it hit me like it hit me in the gut. I felt like I was punched in the stomach. I felt like I was slapped in the face. Because when that came out, I realized, even as a bacher, I realized that that's a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's not going to be any more reverberance. That's it. You need the CD-ROM. You need this Bar Ilan CD-ROM. Because no longer will there be people like that. Does that mean nobody ever will be like that? No, we still have Ruchaim Kanievsky, Baruch Hashem. But the she'ifa to be like that, you may as well forget about it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was providing what we were no longer able to do on our own. That's what it was. Today, that same, by its now longer, whatever it is, whatever they put it out in, that same thing has thousands upon thousands upon thousands of svarim that are available in that we have here in the kollel, because we don't have any svarim in the kollel compared to a real yeshiva. We have, you know, we don't have a huge library, so we have that. And online, you can go to various sites, and there are literally 50,000, 80,000 svarim scanned in, and you can do a search, and you can find. It's all at your fingertips. But that's not. It's a good thing because we're so weak. But the reason why it exists is because we're so weak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to provide it. That's why there's refrigeration and freezers today. That's the reason. Because we have such little emunah. And we're unable to live like the Dor HaMidbar. So much so that it's not good enough anymore just to have a pantry with food in it for a couple of days. Or maybe some supplies for a couple of weeks. We have to have food prepared in our fridges, in our freezers, that we can last for months with the food that we have. I'm not suggesting we shouldn't use the refrigerator and freezer. I'm just pointing out a reality. It's a reality that our emunah has diminished. And the refrigerator and the freezer are only a simon to that reality. We know that the nachash, the klala to the nachash was, v'afar toichal koyimei chayecha. You're going to eat dust all the days of your life. So the Mefarshim ask, what's the klala? That's great. That means food is available to the nachash all the time. Because there's no shortage of afar out there. The whole world is afar. So a nachash never starves. So it's great. So what's the klala? So the Mefarshim say, and you all are familiar with this, that it's a klala because it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to kiviyachol think about the nachash. It's like he set the nachash on autopilot. Get out of my face. I don't want to see you. Your nachash, you're niskalal. I don't want to discuss with you. I don't want you davening to me. I don't want to deal with you. I'm taking care of you already. You're set. Leave. Get out. That's the message to the nachash. Whereas other creatures, and especially human beings, we need to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask for food, and he has to provide the food. And that relationship is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'aveh l'tfilas on shel tzadikim. He wants our tfilas, and we need to maintain our dveikus b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fact that we recognize that we are incredibly dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, food is just only one aspect, but it's the most prevalent one. It's all the time. You can eat and you can stuff yourself, but it's still only going to last a few hours. You're going to have to eat again. So you got to always have food. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the nachash, is getting rid of him. But that's not the way that he wants it to be with us. What he wants to be with us is this constant relationship where we need and we ask and he provides, and we need and we ask and he provides, and we need, and that's the way it works with the man on a daily basis. We're still like that, but because we have such little amuna, the need and the asking and the provision is much broader, much longer period of time. So, with this paradigm, we see that having food in advance is actually a negative. It's a negative. We're happy he's doing that for us. Don't get me wrong. Again, I'm not trying to say we shouldn't keep food in the pantry. We should. That's the level we're on. But it would be better if we were on a level of there's no food in the pantry and it's every day that there's more food that falls. That would have been better. We're not there. Okay. Shabbos doesn't work that way. Shabbos fakert. Kidsho b'mam b'mon ubercho b'mon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mekadosh Shabbos that there will not be an iman on Shabbos. And he was mevarech Shabbos that mon fell double on Friday, which means there was money in the bank. There was food in the pantry. So I ask you, isn't that a stira? Doesn't that contradict the whole concept? If the greater emuna is the one who has no food in their pantry, so what is the pshat that the bracha of Shabbos is you're going to have food in your pantry? It should be the other way around. The rest of the week, there should be food for the whole week because it's a lower kedusha. And Shabbos, which is the higher kedusha, there should be nothing and you have to go out and find it. In fact, it should be that each of the shalashuris, each of the three meals, you should have to go and find your food again. That is, it should be worse than the rest of the week, you find enough food in the morning for the whole day. Shabbos? No. You got to go find food in the morning, find food in the afternoon, right? Find food at night. That wouldn't that be a bigger kedusha? So you hear it needs explanation. What's the pshat that Shabbos is a higher kedusha and therefore you do have food in the pantry? Doesn't seem to make sense. What do you think? You hear the question?
Well, it's not as much work. It's not as much work.
Right, so if you're looking at it from a Lama Tess Malacha standpoint, that's true.
No, but I'm saying like it's not, like you don't, you're, it's like less like work, like spiritual work. Meaning like you don't have to work on yourself. Like in the Dvar Midbar, they didn't have to work on themselves. During all 6 days of the week, but on Shabbos, they didn't have to work on themselves.
So there's
less spiritual work.
Okay, so you think that's the opposite of what Shabbos should be the greatest. Right?
Yeah.
So, and the truth is, you can ask the question with Shemitah also. The Torah says that I'm going to give you food, a bumper crop, in the sixth year. Right? So, money in the bank. So doesn't that compromise the Kedusha of Shvius? The whole Kedusha should be more emuna, not less emuna. So, it seems to me that the pshat is that it depends on how you see the money in the bank, the food in the pantry. Depends how you look at that. If you clearly recognize the money in the bank, the food in the pantry, as an obvious and overt bracha from the Ribbono Shel Olam, so that you can be detached from Gashmias on Shabbos or in Shemitah, then the money in the bank, the food in the pantry, is a good thing. Because it doesn't take away from your emunah, fakert. It increases your emunah. Because you recognize, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give me double on Friday? Why did he give me double or triple in the sixth year? Because there's Kedusha in the seventh day. Because there's Kedusha in the seventh year. Who said there's Kedusha? Go ask anybody off the street. They'll say, what are you talking about? Saturday is just like any other day. What are you talking about? 5775 is just like any other year. What are you talking about? They don't recognize any Kedusha. Who said there's Kedusha? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there's Kedusha. It's an increase in our emunah when we recognize that the food or the money in the bank that is in preparation of Kedusha is so that we're able to be, to nutz ois, to take from that Shabbos, from that Shemitah year, as much as possible. That's an increase in our emunah. When is it a decrease in our emunah? when it's that, what am I going to eat? What am I going to have? I need. What's going to be? I have to build up and build up and build up because maybe I won't have food tomorrow. Maybe I want a food tomorrow. Maybe I want a food tomorrow. What's going to be? That's a decrease in emunah because why shouldn't you have food tomorrow? Who said you're not going to have food tomorrow? Why shouldn't you? Oh, because you don't know where it's coming from? It's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean, where's it coming from? So it's a lack of emunah when it's coming from fear. When it's coming from fear, I need it because I don't know what's going to be tomorrow, then it's a lack of emunah. When it's coming from a sense of being prepared in order not to have to deal with it so that I can be focused on Kedusha, fakir, it's an increase in emunah. It's just the opposite. You want to have a question? Okay. Paro is compared to what animal, do you know?
An ox.
No. We talked about Mitzrayim and being Egla. If you feel me, we did speak about that, about an Egla. But Paro himself, Paro, you know what he's compared to? Hatanim Hagadol. The great serpent. Paro is called a Nachash. The Nile River is called a Nachash, and Paro is called a Nachash. That's what Paro is called. That's why with the Mata turning into a Nachash, because Paro is a Nachash. That's what he's compared to. Paro has dreams. Yosef interprets the dreams. 7 days of Saiva, 7 years of Saiva, 7 years of Rav. What was the purpose of all that? So we know that ultimately the purpose of it was to bring Yaakov Avinu to Mitzrayim. The purpose of the Rav was to bring Yaakov to Mitzrayim. Because only Mitzrayim, Tzugzunt, was prepared for the Rav, not Canaan. So therefore they had to come down to Mitzrayim. But it's such a strange thing. It's going to be 7 years, you're going to build up now. Right? What was that all about? But you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending a message to Paro. What's the message he was sending Paro? You're a Nachash. I want you to have food for 7 years. So I don't have to deal with you for 7 years. For 7 years, I don't have to deal with you. You understand? The 7 years of Soiva that they had to prepare for the 7 years of Rav was not like the bumper crop in the sixth year to prepare for Shemitah. I'm showing you the two different types of things. The bumper crop in Shemitah, in the sixth year to prepare for Shemitah was, not because I don't want to deal with you, it's because I want you to deal with me. I don't want you dealing with food. I don't want you worried about food. I want you to be focused on me. So I'm going to give you a bumper crop so that you don't have to deal with it. And all you have to do is focus on Kedusha. I'm going to give you double man on Friday so you don't have to deal with it on Shabbos, because I want you focused on me on Shabbos. That's Ahava. That's a relationship. 7 years of Soiva, because I'm going to take away the food for 7 years, and I don't want you to be crying to me, what are we going to eat? What did everybody else in the world do? They cried, what are we going to eat? What did Yaakov Avinu do? They cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are we going to eat? They didn't know. Hinei Shamati. Hinei Yeshev in Mitzrayim. Right, Yaakov says. He said, I heard that there's food in Mitzrayim. But they didn't have food. So what do? You daven for food. What do you do, Bimei Rav? Chas v'shalom is a Rav. You daven for food. That's a relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Paro, I'm not interested in your tefillas. I'm not interested in your crying for food. I'm going to give you money in the bank in advance, not so that in the 7 years of Soiva, you'll just be, 7 years of Rav, you'll be able to just focus on Kedusha and me. That's not the reason. The reason is, so you'll have food, so I don't have to deal with you. That's the Nachash. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu was treating Paroi was like he treats the Nachash. I don't want to deal with you. You are not someone I want to have anything to do with. So therefore, I'm giving you in advance so we don't have to talk about it for 7 years. Klal Yisrael, I'm not giving them an advance because I want to talk to them about it. I want to. And when Yaakov comes to Mitzrayim, the Rav ends. Because he's going to come to Mitzrayim, there's going to be food in Mitzrayim. So there's no reason to have a Rav anymore. The whole purpose of the Rav was for Yaakov, you know, and to have the tefillos of tzaddikim, to have them go there. So it's over. So okay, so it's done. But the power is being treated like a nachash in that way. So again, to sum up, the highest level of emuna is that we have our needs met right this moment, but we have no idea where tomorrow's is coming from, and we're not worried about it. Because there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm not worried. I'm totally calm, totally at ease. That's a very lofty madrega. We're not on that madrega by any stretch of the imagination. The further we get from that madrega, the more it is necessary for there to be provisions further and further out, further and further away, more weeks, more months down the line, because we are so weak in our emunah. There are times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka gives more in advance, and that's not a lack of emunah, that actually increases emunah and kedusha because it's recognized as a purposeful, it's recognized as a way that we don't need to be dealing with them on the day of kedusha or the year of kedusha. And by the same token, we have the opposite where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shower bracha upon the nachash. There's food everywhere. Everywhere you turn, there's food. Because I don't want to have to deal with you. And similarly with Paro, who is a nachash, the same thing, the food is provided in advance because I don't want to have to deal with you. It's a different reason for the advance of the food for Paro. Questions?
Yeah. So, back to what you said at the beginning, you were saying about how, like, when the CD came out, and you were saying you felt like, okay, now it's like impossible for you to achieve that. So like, how can you say that, like, just because, like, no, like, how can you say that just because the CD came out, now it's like, oh, I can't do that. I'm not on, like, I can't.
Yeah, no, so you're saying we should still have the drive to do it. It wasn't that it meant that I wasn't trying anymore. But what it meant was that I had pictured in my idealistic years that by the time my chaverim and I reach a certain level in learning, a certain year in learning, most of us would have shas at our fingertips. Most of us. And I realized with that CD that the message is it's going to be much less.
So it's going to be some of you, but not most of you.
It's very, in Lamai's saying in a row, it's very few and far between. It's very, very few. It's not impossible, but it's a lot more work. And the general default is that it isn't the case.
Do you think that it's because of like the, like almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy? Like because it's like, oh, therefore we can't do it. Like if all of these Yishuvim are like, oh, we can't really do it.
I don't think anybody else had the reaction but me. I don't know anybody else that did. Anybody I've told it to never said, oh yeah, I felt the same way. It was a personal feeling that I had at that time. I don't think that's the reason. I think the reason is because we're very entrenched in Gashmias. And just like everything else, it's the Skatnu Adaris. And the further away we get, so then the less our minds are open to Torah. And even though people are learning, Baruch Hashem, people are sitting and learning, Baruch Hashem, but we're still, you know, the more that we're, the Gemara says, before you daven that Torah should enter your body, you should daven that physical pleasures should leave your body. If a person who's very focused on Gashmias can never become a Godel Latar. It just doesn't work. Then the two don't go together.
In general, do you think it's ever a bad thing to have two great Shivas?
Shivas?
Could it ever be like a pitfall for someone?
Generally speaking, having high Shivas is a good thing. Generally speaking. You know, they say you shoot for the stars, you hit the moon. It's a good thing. The only time it works against a person is if it deflates a person. And a person has to have a healthy attitude about it, knowing that, look, I'm shooting for that. If I don't get there, okay, I don't get there, but that's what I'm shooting for. But if it's going to be that if I don't get there, then I'm a failure, then it's very damaging. But that has to do with a person's self-image. And it's most, a person who has a weak self-image to begin with, then they're going to find a way to fail. And then they're going to be finished. But a person has a healthy self-image, so then it's a good thing to strive for more. We shouldn't sell ourselves short. We can always do more than we think we can. That's for sure.
So you're saying, like, to connect it back with what you were saying, like, technically, like, okay, a person could strive to know all, you could strive to know all of that, but, like, we just have to recognize that the level that we're at.
Right. We have to recognize this is where we are. Yeah. We're starting from further away.
So would you say nowadays, in fact, we have so many preservatives and everything, would you say, like, we can interpret it the better way, that, like, it's because Hashem wants us to focus on more Kedusha?
We could, but that would have to mean that there are times of Kedusha that we can tap into. See, before Shemitah year, he's telling us the seventh year is a Kadosh year. There's no reason to believe that 5776 is a Kadosh year.
So then in that case, is it the opposite way, that Hashem is giving us so many preservatives and everything, because Hashem kind of doesn't want to deal with it?
I don't think he doesn't want to deal with us. I think it's a reaction to our need. We are so weak that we have to have those things. We don't feel, you know, I don't want to take too much more time, but I just want to tell you, like, you know, when Mr. Hashem, you'll get older, you'll have families, and you'll be involved in the finances of your families, and it's unbelievable how it works. A person says that I need to have a certain amount of money in order to feel like we're secure, I need to have a certain amount of money. So that could be, I have to have enough money to pay my bills. And then I feel good. And then I just need to have, I want to pay my bills, but I also have to have a reserve. Just a reserve. I have to have $1,000 reserve just in case. Then I'll feel secure. So you save up the money, you have $1,000 in the bank. And the person says, in order to feel secure, I have to have enough for a few months just in case. So you build up a little more reserve, $10,000 in the bank. In order to really feel secure, I need enough for a whole year. In order to feel secure, the more a person accumulates, then what happens is as soon as they dip below that level, they feel insecure. So it's unbelievable. But you can have a family that has $1 million in the bank, and then as soon as it dips below that, it dips down to $950,000. All of a sudden, oh no, we're losing our money. But I'm not criticizing that family, because we all do it. We all do it on our own level, whatever that level is. Whatever the level is that we think in our own heads is where we need to be, as soon as we dip below that, right? Even though we have plenty of food, Baruch Hashem, we have clothing, we have a house, we have a roof over our heads, we have cars, we have everything that we need, but we dip below that level, I feel poor. And you'll see, every level a person gets to, it's anything less than that, I feel poor. But you think it should be the opposite. If, you know, last year I was living, you know, mamish paycheck to paycheck. Now I got $5,000 in the bank. I should be like a king. But as soon as that gets down to $4,500, oh no, we're losing our money. That's where I think it's coming from. But we can have shifas to have better emunah. That we can do.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.